In our first reading today, we have a very famous and important story. That's the story of really the call of Moses. When Moses encounters the Lord in the burning bush, and then Moses receives his vocation, which is that he's going to go to his people who are enslaved in Egypt, and he's going to lead his people out of Egypt, the Israelites. But Moses asks God a question. What am I supposed to tell the people your name is? In other words, who do I tell them is sending them? Which is really interesting because God already identified him as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of his fathers, yet he still asks, who are you? What's your name? Which God are you? Moses might as well be saying. And God answers by not answering the question. He says, I am who am. Or another way of translating would be, I am who I am. I am who am. It's a very mysterious answer that he gives back. So it's really important that we understand what's happening here in the scriptures, and our Catholic tradition really gives us the interpretation for what God is saying here. I am who am. It's important that we understand who God is and who God is not. So it's important for us to know that God is not a being. We have many beings. This church is full of them right now. I'm one of them. We have a lot of little beings that are still amazingly alive and crawling around our sanctuary area, the little box elder bugs. Somehow, they're still going, many of them. So we have little beings like box elder bugs. We have bigger beings like human beings, you and me. A bigger being would be an elephant. A bigger being would be a mountain. A bigger being would be Jupiter. But God is not the biggest being, like box elder bugs, humans, mountains, Jupiter, God, then the biggest being. That's not what we believe God is. St. Thomas Aquinas taught that God is not a being at all. But rather, God is ipsum esse, to be itself, the sheer act of being. And this might sound like a lot, just philosophical mumbo jumbo, but it's really important because if two things are beings, then they're in competition with each other. And so, And by that I mean that we can't occupy the same space in the same time. So now we have another being right here on the ground. It's actually a large wasp that's crawling around right now on the floor. If I were to step on the wasp, very soon my shoe would displace the wasp and I would destroy it. Because my shoe and the wasp can't occupy the same space at the same time. A being can't be another being at the same time. So I can't be myself and an apple. But I could eat an apple and then the apple would become me. But in order to become me, the apple has to be destroyed. And then everything that was in the apple is distributed in me. So things can turn into other things, but they have to be destroyed first. And so the point is just for us to think about beings as different than God. This is not God. Because St. Thomas Aquinas taught that God is not in competition with us like two beings are in competition with each other, that God is non-competitive towards us because he's not a being like us. And we see this in the image of the burning bush. So Moses comes across what he thinks is a remarkable scene. It's a bush that's on fire, but the bush is not being consumed by the fire. And Moses is attracted to the light and to the flame and to the beauty of it, and he marvels at it. This is a really good image of what happens when God approaches a being. The bush is a being. So God approaches the being and doesn't destroy it, but elevates it, makes it beautiful, makes it shine with light. It becomes more what it is, and actually it becomes even more than what it could be on it by its own nature. And that's what happens when God approaches us too. When God approaches us, we are not destroyed in the process, but rather God makes us more who we are. And he makes us even more than we can be by our own nature. He supernaturalizes us. Last night, our 11th grade students from this parish and from our other two parishes were confirmed. And this is exactly what happens to them. At our confirmation, we receive the fullness of the gift of the Holy Spirit. One of the symbols of the Holy Spirit is fire. What happens at Pentecost when Mary and the disciples receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and a tongue of fire is seen to appear above their foreheads. Well, suddenly, those apostles who were scared out of their minds, locked themselves in the upper room, fearful for their lives, suddenly those disciples become very outwardly willing to express and to live their faith, to proclaim the gospel. So the effect of that Holy Spirit on them actually perfected them as a person and made them more than they could be by their nature alone. So that's what happened to the apostles in the upper room at Pentecost. That's what the church teaches. It's the same thing. That's confirmation. That's what confirmation does, the sacrament. That when we receive the Holy Spirit in that way, the Holy Spirit brings about a perfection of our nature and gives us more, makes us more than we can be without it. But isn't it interesting how tempted we could? So the truth is that God actually makes us more ourself. So this is why it's so important that the church teaches us that God is not a being like we are, because two beings are in competition. George and Bridget can't sit in the same place at the same time because they're two beings that can't occupy the same space. But God is not just another being, but actually, because he's the act of to be itself, he can come into my person, he can envelop my person, and the effect is not my destruction, but actually new life for me. But the enemy wants us to think that the opposite happens. The enemy wants us to think that if we invite God into our life, he takes something away from us, that he makes life more boring, less fun, that God will make life less interesting for us. But the opposite is true. But how easy it is for us to be convinced of that lie. We see this very clearly in the lives of the saints. I mean, I think immediately of Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa, who was probably like 4'10". I mean, she was a tiny, tiny lady. full of wrinkles, the kind of person that, if except the habit she was wearing, you'd pass by her on the street and you wouldn't even look at her, you wouldn't notice her. But yet people who came into contact with Mother Teresa felt like they had encountered the most special person because she made them feel so special. Mother Teresa was so alive and joyful, and there was a fire in her eyes of love. And anybody who met her, Christian, non-Christian, knew that there was something so intriguing about her, fascinating about her. When she would go around the world to visit her convents, her sisters, the missionaries of charity, would run to her. And she would go around just like speaking a simple word to them and touching them on the forehead, and those sisters would just giggle with pure joy. Mother Teresa, her allowing herself to be filled with God has had the same effect on her as that burning bush. She was full of light, radiant, attracting others. Just like the burning bush attracted Moses, that's God in us. That's what God does in us. He doesn't come to destroy us. He comes to give us life and set us free. Isn't it interesting that the church, in our readings today, the church gives us two trees? There's the burning bush in the first reading, and then there's the fig tree in the gospel. The fig tree that for 3 years has been cultivated doesn't bear any fruit. So we could be that tree too. We could be the tree that we resist God's desire to come into our life and into our heart. We could be resistant of that. But then what's going to happen is that we're not going to be happy, and our life is not going to bear fruit. So which do we want to be? The gospel message for us today is a great message for Lent. Gospel message is repent. And to repent means to turn away from our own way, the way of self, and to turn towards the way of God, to let God in, to let God be. What will happen to us as we do that is shown in our readings today. We'll become more the person that he made us to be, more ourself. But we have a choice. If we resist God's grace, if we choose the way of self over the way of God, then we're going to be like that fig tree that might as well be torn down because it's not fulfilling the purpose for which it was made. It's not doing any good. Let's not be that tree. We don't need to be afraid of God. He only comes to give us more life, more peace, more freedom, more joy. That will attract others. That will bear fruit in our life. Let's ask the Lord for the grace of repentance today, for all the ways that we tend towards ourself and selfishness. Let's ask the Lord today to help us to experience the new life that he desires to bring us as we allow him in more and more in the Holy Spirit, that we may become more who we are meant to be, attracting others to ourselves, experiencing real fruit in our life.